Hi, everybody, and welcome to day two of living under grace and learning how to find that rest. Some of the new other podcasts we're going to be doing this week and later on are going to talk about how grace gives you legal standing with God. This is a huge revelation because if you're a principle-based person, you need to feel like you have the right. And grace, as I explain it to you later this week, gives you the legal standing with God. You know, grace provides supernatural sufficiency. You know, what did Paul say? He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So we're going to talk about the sufficiency of grace. How does that feel, right? Because the word archai, sufficient, doesn't mean barely enough. It means completely adequate, over the top. So it doesn't just cover our inadequacies. It provides supernatural sufficiency. Then we're going to talk about grace, how it operates with mathematical superiority. Paul writes, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So if there's a multiplication of grace where there's problems. So this is why grace is so powerful and why we need to understand it. You know, grace operates outside of time. This is going to be a fascinating topic to talk about because it's revolutionary, because it flows from the eternal nature of God. It doesn't operate in time, and that's what we kind of get tangled up and misunderstand what God is doing. The other thing about grace is it eliminates human disadvantage, right? We're going to talk about why, no matter how disadvantaged you feel, how grace is the great equalizer and how grace will allow you to come back and surpass others, no matter what's happened in your life, even if you've lost time, even if you've made a mistake and you feel like you've lost time, grace is the great redeemer and the great restorer of what's been lost. You're going to love that section as well. You know, it produces and provides real-time empowerment, allows us to come to God in our time of need and to get precisely what we need, and it also transforms how we process setbacks, right? We see failure not as complete, but failure becomes divine information or redirection, not condemnation. And so we're going to talk about those in the days that come. But today we want to go back into understanding the root of grace. And that word grace is the Greek word charis or charis. The Greek word for joy is char, same word, C-H-A-R. Charis is C-H-A-R-I-S. Charismata, which refers to your gift, is the word char, which is joy, and charis, which is grace, and mata, which is gift. So wrapped up in your spiritual gift, which is why every Christian must find their spiritual gift, not just their natural gifts. My natural gifts is I can play the piano. I learned piano for 12 years. I can play the piano. That's a natural gift and something that I've learned. But there are spiritual gifts that produce joy. And you need to figure that out. Grace, that is the favor of God, comes on your gift. The joy of the Holy Spirit comes through your gift. It's all related, and you really need to know that. You know, I want to encourage you, by the way, just as the next course comes up for our leadership college, I'm going to be teaching and lecturing the 6 weeks, two lessons each week, 12 lessons, and I want to encourage you to sign up because you're going to learn so much in that next college subject. So sign up for that. But the secret sauce is to understand that grace is favor. Grace is favor. Favor means to be attractive to the eye. Favor means to be attractive to the eye. What that means is you can be in a crowd. Let's say you're a single young man and you're in a crowd somewhere. You will spot the pretty girl and you'll want to do anything again to get close to her or help her. Why? Because she's attractive to your eye. You want to help her. Let's say you're a venture capitalist person, which gives money to inventors and to people that create products. You're looking for that person that's attractive to your eye. And when you find that person, that you feel close to, you want to give them millions of dollars, resources, training, education, and help. And so when we get favor in the eyes of someone, it means they put all of their resources, their time, their energy, their effort behind helping us. And so, you know, teachers at school, there'll be a student in the class that the teacher will be drawn to, depending on the teacher's makeup, be drawn to. Maybe they went through challenges as a child. Maybe they were dyslexic and they spot the dyslexic kid in the class. They immediately want to help that person. Or maybe they're a different kind of teacher. They find someone that they're attracted to and then they give them extra help. And they're supposed to be fair on everybody, but they just want to help that extra person. That's favor. And I want you to get the idea of favor, because favor is grace. Grace is favor. Grace is the favor of God. That means God finds you attractive. Yes, you. He doesn't look at our physical features to find us attractive. He looks at our heart. Remember, Samuel said, you know, you guys look at the outer, but God looks at the heart. That's what God said to Samuel, right? And so God's looking at the heart to see who's attracted to. Well, who's he attracted to? Those that are his children. Those that accept Jesus into their hearts, not just religious churchgoers, but people that have a relationship with Jesus, they're immediately attractive to God. A couple of reasons. He sees the heart. Number two, when you become a follower of Jesus, you become part of God's family. You're his child. And as a child always gets favor from their parents, that's how it's supposed to be, God has this dramatic eye of favor about you, about your spouse, about your future spouse. If you don't have one, he's got someone ready for you. Don't jump too quickly. Wait for God to bring it to you and be ready. You have to be ready rather than trying to find Mr. or Mrs. Ready. So guess what? Then, because God loves you, whether it's your workplace, your children, you know, God wants to help you with your children. He wants to give you the answers for those grown-up adult children that you can't seem to find. Did you know God's grace, God's favor, God's resources, God's eyes are looking at you? He looks at you with great favor. This is the great, great lie that the devil tries to propagate in us, that we're not enough, that we're not worthwhile, that we've done too much wrong, or we're not a good enough Christian. And Jesus wants to tell you, come to me if you're burdened by these things. I'm here for you. I love you. I want a relationship with you. I don't want you just to kind of do things out of duty. I want you to fall in love with me. And as you spend more time with me, as you spend time in my house, as you worship, you're going to fall in love with me. And then as you fall in love with Jesus, suddenly you want to be like him. And in that whole transformational process, God's eye of blessing starts to direct more and more to you, not because of your performance, but because of your relationship. Remember, it's the relationship, not your performance. He loves you because you're his child. He loves you because you're part of his family. He loves you because Jesus died for you as if you're the only person who ever lived. And so understanding it's not your love for him, but his love for you that saved you. I told the story before of my son Nathan, who was on this little corner beach on the Gold Coast in Australia, and these Rottweilers jumped over the fence and started swimming towards him. And I was out some way with my other son Mark in a boat, and I quickly jumped onto the seawall. I began to run back as fast as I can, and I picked him up, I put him over the fence, and then went and beat the water with a paddle to get rid of these dogs. Now, he was oblivious to it, and it wasn't. So my question is, was it his love for me that saved him? No, it was his dad's love for him that saved him. He did nothing except receive. You and I do nothing except receive the favor of God, accept the favor of God. And so one of the things we need to do every day, and we'll talk more about this, is the self-talk needs to be clear. You need to write down statements of truth about God's thoughts towards you. Maybe you look up scriptures on your AI and find all the scriptures that talk about God's favor towards you, God's love for you. Because you need to convince your own heart, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help that happen by saying to yourself every day, I am loved by God. As if there was no one else in the earth, he would have died for me. Jesus loves me. I'm the apple of his eye. Because he extended his grace to me, it also means that I'm under his favor. Because I'm under his favor, all his resources, all his help are geared towards helping me in my work, in my finances, in my emotions, in my health, in my children, in my spousal relationship, in every relationship. He's here for me because I'm under his favor. All his resources are pointing to me. Therefore, I can ask God confidently. I can come to him. And every single day you need to renew your mind. Here's why. The whole of the book of Romans, written by the Apostle Paul about grace. It's the treatise on grace. It's all about grace. You know, Romans chapter 5 talks about grace, and he begins to contrast the grace and the sin, and where sin increased, grace increased even more. And right through Romans, he's giving us the theology of grace, the theology of understanding that we were saved because of God's love for us, not because of our love for him. Then in chapter 12, after laying it out blow by blow by blow, so that we would know his grace, his favor is for us, which means we can live at rest. It means that we can find rest for our souls, that anxious mind, that troubled heart, that worry, that performance that we spoke about last time. I can find rest from all of that. We're going to talk more in the next episodes about how to do that practically and what I do and how I found rest for my soul, how every day I have to go seek that rest. Depending on the day, depending on the week, I need more of that rest than others, but I need to know how to access it. So we're going to talk about that. But when God's love is geared towards me and focused on me, I have to believe, remember, I had to believe that believing in Jesus would save me, that by believing that grace could move my life, I've got to believe now that I'm the child of God, that I'm favored of the Lord, that I'm under his grace. And then in Romans 12, it says this, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be renewed in your mind. What's Paul talking about? If you take it in its context, he's talking about the fact that we are so ingrained with performance, do good, get good, do bad, get bad, earn your place, etc., etc., that it's a real struggle because the curse brought performance into the world, but Jesus died on the cross to upend performance as the driving motivation, to upend stress, to upend worry, to upend that demonic feeling I might feel around my life, which makes me prone to fear and worry and doubt, right? Insecurity is another big issue for Christians, right? Being insecure about my place. Does God really love me as much as he loves the other person? And the answer is yes. Any parent who has children knows how to love all their children the same, right? And not every parent does, but parents who do know that you thought it was impossible to love someone more than the first child, and then your second child comes along, and you, wow, I love them as much. The third child, I love them as much. It's so incredible, the vastness of our love to love across numbers of children, and God's the same. He can love all of us so powerfully and so perfectly that all of us, and Paul writes and says, okay, now you know the truth. Chapter 1 to 11 is the truth. Chapter 12 is now, what are you going to do about that? How are you going to renew your mind? How are you going to improve your self-talk? I need to create self-talk. I need to create things that go back in a loop that goes back into my mind and my heart every day that I am favored. I'm not walking into a meeting by myself. I'm not going to deal with that child by myself. I'm going with the Holy Spirit. Jesus loves me. His favor encamps around me. It guards me. His favor is my shield, is what the Bible says. Look up all those scriptures about favor and look about his love for you. Because as you begin to understand the love of God, and the love of Jesus towards you, the deep impossible to understand love of God for you, everything starts to change, right? All the decisions I've made that have been amazing decisions in my life came because I felt loved by God. And I have to get into that place. The revelation of his love is unending. If you had one 20 years ago, ask for another one now. If you had one 2 years ago, ask for another one now. You need to get it again and again and again because we're living in a performance-based world that's trying to knock all of that out of you. And as you do, and as you renew your mind, and this is how it works, I think of a circle. And let's think of a circle with a massive dip. Imagine you've got the circle on the ground and there's a massive hole just at one point in the circle. Well, life can be okay, 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 and then you fall in the hole. And then you forget about grace. Then you forget about your worth. Then you forget about God's love. Well, the idea is to fill that hole in. Keep reminding yourself, climb out, and suddenly the circle will get better and better, and then you'll fall in it again. And you have to keep repeating that cycle and keep boosting your strength, your commitment, your passion, and the sense of knowing that you're loved and favored. And if you will begin to renew your mind like that, you will find rest for your soul. Jesus said that, I'm going to give you rest for your conscience, but then as you yoke yourself to me and you get to know me and you talk about how much I love you, not about how much you love me, you will find that rest, and suddenly those things will start to drop off. And it will be a daily thing until it becomes a habit as we renew our mind. So I really pray for you today that you would understand how loved you are. And come back tomorrow because day 3 is going to be incredible. See ya.